Welcome to 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. This is The Customer Isn't Always Right. If you're listening, it's probably Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Or you're listening on WRUU.creek.fm, where you can catch all the old episodes. I am your host, Rio. I'm still here. I'm still doing it. I'm still alive. I made it. Another week. And I've got a new guest. What is your name?
My name is Allie.
Awesome. We're going to get into all the things as normal right after these promotions. Give me 1 second, y'all.
You are listening to WRUU, community radio with a global soul, not commercial radio. Therefore, more content, more music, more conversation, and fewer commercials.
You are listening to your radio station, WRUU, which is presented by people just like you, people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, friends, co-workers, and other people from Savannah and the Coastal Empire. Therefore, WRUU is your community radio station. So won't you please help by donating whatever you can afford to help your neighbors stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station with a monetary contribution of any amount. Again, support your local radio station at WRUU.org. Thank you.
Check, check, 1, 2. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.
Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, features conversations with and the music of local musicians and musicians performing in and around Savannah. Join me, Dave Lake, and these musical guests each week on Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. on WRUU.
Check, check, 1, 2.
The Moss Mystique Southern Women and Newcomb Pottery exhibit opens at the Jepson Center on May 30th. This exhibition explores the work of women decorators of Newcomb Pottery, a turn of the 20th century art pottery in New Orleans, and how their depictions of the American South contributed to an emerging mystique about the region. More information can be found at www.telfair.org.
All right, we are back. Oh my God, I hope we're not on the air. I don't think we are. I just saw the red light go on. I think it's just because we're recording. Okay. I just never noticed it before.
You're talking to yourself?
Yeah, I'm just talking to myself right now. All right, so here we are with Allie. How are you?
Phenomenal. Can't complain quite yet.
All right, so so let's start with where are you from?
I'm from Biloxi, Mississippi, kind of like 8 hours from here.
Okay. I'm surprised you don't sound like a banjo.
Look, you should have seen me do karaoke the other day. It all came out.
It's so funny. Like, when I moved down here from New Jersey, I expected everyone to sound like a banjo. Like, you know, Deliverance, like, not being able to understand anyone. But I was actually pretty surprised. That was just, I don't know. I guess up in the north, we have, like, a really weird...
Y'all have more accents than we do.
I mean, some of us do. I mean, everyone's like, oh, you're from New Jersey? How come you don't have that accent? I'm like, well, first of all, that accent that you're talking about is, like, New York and, like, Long Island people or, like, Staten Island types. I'm like, most people sound like I do. Like, there's not really an accent there. But anyway, so what brings you to Savannah? Where were you prior to Savannah?
Home. Born and raised.
Still home.
Mississippi. Just kind of woke up one day, decided I like Savannah better.
I mean, it happens.
As so I feel like most people that live here also did.
Yeah, they do it. You know, I mean, there's a for some people, there's like a time limit. It's like 10 years, and then you're like, okay, I've done Savannah. Like, I'm good.
That's what everyone keeps telling me. They're like, oh, the novelty will wear off. I promise. I'm like, eh, we'll see.
It will. It does. It does. And I'm not saying Savannah's terrible. I'm just saying after time, you're just like, okay. I can only drink so much. Like, I can only go out so much. Like, I can only do this and that so much. But so, okay. So, I know you're relatively new to the service industry. What were you doing prior?
Prior to the service industry, I was doing mostly, like, electrical design. So, I was working in a corporate setting.
Electrical design, what is that? What
it's
does that mean?
AutoCAD, so 3D design.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
It was, I don't know, it was pretty cool, but I didn't like sitting at the desk all day.
Right. Okay. So what were y'all designing? Like
military ships. So I did all the electrical layouts for like the cable routing and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I felt a little special.
So what made you get out of that?
I kind of checked all the boxes I was supposed to check already. So I was like 25 and I was like, oh, this is the job I'm supposed to set up for the next 30 years. Panic.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And what was like the relationship dynamic there between you and your like coworkers and stuff like that?
Honestly, I was originally terrified that I was going to be like the youngest person in the room.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, was not the case. Like it was actually like a young group of us.
Right. I imagine when you're talking about tech jobs, it's probably mostly younger people.
You would think so, but at the same time with companies like that, it's like most people get into that chair and they die there.
Okay, right.
And so you're surrounded by a lot of older people, like the entire building. It was just my one specific row that was actually a little bit younger.
Ugh.
And so it made work a little bit more enjoyable.
So that's good. That's good. That's good. So then you just one day were like, all right, I'm going to Savannah. What made you choose Savannah?
I visited here like 3 times. And when I tell you that like the first time I was here, I was probably here for 20 minutes before I was on Zillow and looking at like the cost of living and see if I could figure it out.
All right.
I hadn't even parked. The car hadn't been parked yet. And I was just like, yep, this is it.
All right. That's cool. So just, you know, you just came here on a whim or someone told you about Savannah?
Me and my mom were on a week-long no destination road trip.
Just driving?
Yeah, so we got all the way to Jacksonville and just started going up the East Coast and got to Savannah. And we were like, oh, this is phenomenal. Stayed here for like 3 days. Ended up in Hilton Head for a little bit. Stayed there for 2 days. We weren't supposed to be in Hilton Head at all.
Yeah.
But so it was just, I don't know, we just kind of showed up here.
And okay.
We were like, oh, like this is our jam. Made friends with all of the bartenders and just adopted them and went and hung out with them when they got off work.
Right. Cool, cool,
just
cool.
Beat the streets.
Yeah, that's cool. That's kind of like how it's similar to how I ended up here. I had a friend who was doing one of those same things. Her and her friend were just like, "Yeah, we're gonna just drive." And then their car broke down here in Savannah.
You had to come save them.
I didn't have to come save them, but they ended up staying and like enjoying it. And so she was here for like 9 years prior to like trying to get me to come down here. And she's like, it might have been less than 9 years, but. Just for that whole time, she's like, you got to move down here. You got to move down here. You got to move down here. And finally, I just like, all right, fine. Fine. Like, I've got nothing going on right now. Like, let me get out of here.
I didn't know a single person getting here, which is honestly kind of the saving grace of, like, working in the service industry.
Yeah.
It's like, I walked in. It was immediate. I was like, all right, I have friends now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all work in such hellish conditions sometimes that it's like, it's like trauma bonding.
It's like you learned my name 2 days ago, but we're best friends.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah,
we've been through the trenches.
Yeah, yeah, it really is like that. Yeah, I got lucky. Like, had I not known her, it would have been pretty difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I like was here second day, found an apartment, like found a job like a month in after. I was like, all right, I guess I have to work now, and it wasn't too bad. But okay. So had you bartended before?
A little bit. Not as much as what I do on a volume scale here.
Right.
But at home, it was mostly a like restaurant kind of setting.
Uh-huh.
But I had essentially retired from it for like a year and a half while I went into the corporate world. And I'd pick up on the occasions if they had festivals and stuff.
Right.
If I just, again, it was the same situation where all of my friends were still in the service industry.
Right.
And so it just made more sense for me to pick up a shift on a Saturday and get to hang out with my friends and work.
Right. Hey, you're working and then, like, sometimes you do stuff after hours.
Yeah, it's like I'm either going to sit on one side of the bar and spend my money to hang out, or I can just get behind the bar and do the same thing.
And make money. Yeah, yeah. Make money. Just reverse it the other way. Plus, everyone knows who's in the service industry. There's always those after hours things that happen. Sometimes the bar is cool and you hang out there for a while, or sometimes you go to another bar and then you walk in, like, every bartender is there that you've ever seen everywhere. It happens. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun in that respect. So had you done anything else? Have you served? Have you done anything else like that?
Primarily, I was a server at home. And then kind of was just like a little, like a glorified bartender.
Okay.
Where it was like, I didn't actually do a lot of it. Okay, like, that's like my number one thing. You have to lie about being behind a bar to get behind one. So I had to, you know, make it a lot more fancier when I got here.
Yeah, yeah. If you're quick, yeah. I mean, as long as you're quick-witted, like, you can figure it out. Most bartenders don't know how to make 90% of drinks. Like,
You can teach drinks. You can't teach personality.
Right.
So as long as you can actually just get behind the bar and engage with people, you can normally fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. Uh-huh. It's just, that's, yes. Okay. So, overall, let's say, how long do you think you've been total service, like this, like in the service industry?
Oh, in the service industry, I'd say 6 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But balls to the wall, like, what, how many months have you been here now?
Two. I'm almost. I've only been, like, we're just coming up on 2 months.
And it's been crazy.
Oh, my gosh. it's like, I feel like I've lived, like, four different lives.
I mean, you came right during St. Pat's, too.
I walked in Monday before St. Patrick's Day. And I was just like, hey, guys, y'all need a bartender? I got really lucky.
Yeah. And you were able to hang out during one of those, like, one of the craziest times on Congress. Like,
oh, yeah.
Congress Street during that time is just, like, wild. Like, I don't even remember half of the things that happened. Like, I know that there's, like, I remember the big things, fights and whatever, but, like, it's wild. It's a wild time.
I like that the street's shut down. It gets me all excited. There's something about walking in a road. I don't know what it is.
And you can do it here with alcohol in your hand.
Oh, I know. So you could actually do the same thing at home. What's different here is that you can walk into a lot of places with alcohol, and that's what blew my mind.
Oh, you can't do that?
No. Normally, it's like you can walk on the streets, but the second you get to a door, it's Chug Central.
Okay. Interesting.
Or there's like a graveyard of like half-drinking drinks like on the...
like on the sills?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
You swear you're going to come back for it, and it's just...
you're not coming back for it. All right, so being in the corporate world, right? What do you how like? What are the obviously the major like some of the obvious differences are like interactions with different people all the time? Because I imagine you're on the phone, you're like doing stuff.
Yeah.
So let's start with your coworkers. Like, what do you feel like the major differences are there between the corporate world and now? Obviously, the freedom with how we speak to each other is very different. But I mean,
there's a completely whenever you're in a corporate setting like that and you're just sitting next to people. You don't know really anyone around you. It's so interesting because it's very like there's a work version.
Yeah.
So it's like, especially in those settings, like there's a lot of things that you just cannot say. Like, you know, it's like I can't be like, oh, like this is what I went and did on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
They don't want to know that.
Yeah, how was your weekend? Oh, it was good.
Yeah. I mean, you could be sitting next to a serial killer. You wouldn't know.
You would never know. It's so interesting.
I can only imagine the personalities who can, like, sit in that setting and be okay. I
wasn't one of them.
I can't do that.
I can't not just be me. And so I feel like that was a little bit of a, like, the entertainment of the area because I'm always just yapping about what I was doing.
Until someone taps in, they're like, we can't be talking about that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I would save that for later. I'm like, okay, sorry.
All right, fine, yeah. Yeah, I get that. I always get the, you're too intense. You need to calm down. Like, yo, I'm just bored.
Hey, like, get some work done.
Yeah, like, I already did it. I'm bored.
Yeah.
Don't reward me with someone else's work. But anyway, okay, so, yeah, that's, like, a major difference. But, like, so what about, let's really, like, analyze it. So, like, what about boss-wise?
Oh, the least I could speak to them, the better my day was.
Right.
It's like, I basically wanted to pretend I did not exist. Like, there's nothing worse than, like, just having somebody come up and you're just, like, standing behind your desk and you're just like,
can I help you?
How are you today? No, I mean, everything about it was just very, I don't know, it was good for work experience, but nothing there was there for, like, a life experience kind of way.
Right.
It was just existing. And people either breathing down your shoulders or a big, like, what's the saying? Like, dog eat dog?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, you're kind of always looking over your shoulder because there's somebody is going to be talking to Karen next door, complaining about something.
Someone's always looking for your job or looking at your job.
Yeah, it's so strange.
Yeah, I don't, I find, it's weird. I mean, I've had very few, like, corporate setting jobs, but, like, I find that there's a lot of people who feel the way up, the fastest way up is by pushing other people down.
Mm-hmm.
You find it in the service industry. Like, yeah, lucky, like, where we work, you don't see a lot of that. But there are places that are like that. You know what I mean? If you ever move on to another bar, like, you might experience that kind of nonsense.
I hate that stuff.
Yeah, but it's like way more obvious, like in a bar setting, because people just don't.
Well, it's that's the only thing with the bar setting. It's being the newbie and coming in and like, it's like, let's say you're good. Let's say the people that you work well with certain people, and so you start getting the good shifts.
Yeah,
and it makes the other people.
Like, there's people who get upset. Yeah, there's people who get upset. But the way I look at it is like, if you want to be on the good shifts, then do a good job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm not, you know, don't get it twisted. I'm not here calling anyone out. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, you should do less complaining and more working if you want to get the better shifts. You know what I mean?
No, and I've had people at, like, my friends are spread out between all the bars on Congress Street at this point. And so it's universal agreement. Hey, show up.
Yeah. And yeah, and not like just a body, like
show up.
Like when you and I were talking the other day with Kathy about like having to compartmentalize and put on a face, mm-hmm. and it's a show. Like people don't, there's people where it's like, they think it's all about good work ethic. Like if I come and I make the drinks right and I clean my bar up and I open and close correctly and da 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 da, that like I should be getting the good shifts, I should be making the most money. But if you lack personality, it doesn't matter how good you are on that bar.
That's my argument about some, like,
it doesn't matter. Like, if people are coming there to see you, no matter how bad of a bartender you are, you're the draw. Mm-hmm. You're making the money. Like, and especially in a situation where, like, there's tips being pooled. Yeah, at the end of the night, if I sat at my bar and I didn't make any money, but you made a ton of money and I'm still getting tipped out, I'm going to go up there and help you.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go outside and help you. Or I'm going to go to the bottom stairs and help you. Like, especially if I just stood around all day and did nothing.
It's a win-win situation, normally. Right.
And why wouldn't you want the personalities on the bar?
Exactly.
People don't, like, I heard this so many times before. People don't go to bars, certain bars, because they like the bar. They go there for certain bartenders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, I would say, like, it's probably 30% aesthetic. And like 70% bartender.
Yeah.
Every bar has the same drinks. Every bar smells like beer. Every bar has the same type of people. Like, it's just, I don't know. Some people don't understand that it's hospitality. It's a personality job.
It's a massive
It's a performance job.
We have such a variety of different bars.
Yeah.
And there's some of them that I thrive in and other ones that I'm like, hey, I don't work with this bar.
Yeah, it's not the person, it's the bar.
Yeah, it's like, I can't be the version of, like, what people want to see behind this one.
Yeah.
Put me at the other one.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm monkey doing tricks over there. It's, like, it's a great time.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I can imagine at the place we work being more comfortable. Like, for example, for me, like, if I worked as a bartender there, for me, it would be the downstairs inside bar.
Really?
I think, like, that would be the bar for me.
I can't do that one. it's like,
or maybe the outside one, depending.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
Stimulation.
I don't like being surrounded. That's the other thing.
See, but that's how I feel with that one.
Nah, I think everyone's in front of you.
I'm in a box.
Right, I get that, but I just feel like everyone's in front of you. That's like you have a good view of everyone in front of you.
Yeah, but you're just like, hey, guys.
Right. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide at that bar. I get that. But, like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the upstairs one, no dice for me. There's no way I'd be able to do that bar.
I love it.
I mean, it's fun.
That's where I make all the friends.
Like, it's fun, and I do my best to, like, make it a fun environment up there, and it's a fun time. But, like, I don't know that I would. I think it would take some time for me to, like, be like, okay, I guess I can do the upstairs one.
Personality. Just which one meshes with your personality the best.
I think I would just do better as like a, hey, let's chat it up for a while bartender.
Oh, you like that one-on-one engagement.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh, tell me why you're here. Why are you visiting?
Yeah, trauma dump on me. Do it.
Trauma dump.
Like, I'll serve you beers while you do it.
Say? It's like, I'll beat you. It's like, I could beat up your therapist.
Yeah, exactly. Fun times. All right. So in your short amount of time there, have you had any like good experiences with customers that stand out? Not just the like, hey, everyone was nice, people tipped me, but I mean, like,
honestly, I think it was just like, there's a couple that was just in town and they were just visiting and they stayed the whole time. And it's like the most rewarding thing is when they're just sitting there and they're just praising you. They're like, you've made my trip so amazing.
I love that.
This is like, this is the best bar I've ever been to. Like, you guys were so awesome. Like, thank, and like, they're thanking you for it. Best feeling. Oh, yeah. That's
that was my yesterday and the day before. There was a bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
It was like all these super tall girls.
Yeah.
And they came in Friday night. We had a good time. Bye-bye, chilled out, whatever. And they came in last night and they're like, we came back because it was so much fun here last time. Da-da-da-da. They just like dropped loot on me like all night and it was good. And we had fun. It was a good time. Like, I love those experiences.
I think that's like, it's probably one of the most rewarding things about it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you could give me a $100 tip along with like everything you're saying, but honestly, I'm good.
Right.
Thank you. You just like blew up my ego so much.
Not only that, like, I feel like I did something.
I did.
You know what I mean?
You will talk about me forever. Every time you bring up Savannah.
Exactly.
I'm a part of your story now.
Exactly. Or yeah, or like people are like, I just got married tonight. Like, this was great. Da, da, da. And it's like, now I'm a part of your wedding day.
So I do event bartending too.
Uh-huh.
And so that's another part of it.
So how's that?
That is.
I feel like that's got to be a little stuffy.
It's honestly a little rewarding because there's such small shifts. And so it's a very different dynamic of bartending that I normally get to do. It's open bar. Like, I dress nicer behind that bar than I did in a corporate setting ever.
Right. Well, I mean.
But it's just, it's exciting. And so it's like I've watched weddings, I've watched receptions, I've done fundraisers, and it's like exciting to be a part of that. And I get to do a more elevated version of bartending. And so it's the cosmos, the martinis, the old fashions.
All that stuff, yeah. All the special drinks.
I had never made in my life.
That's what abs are for.
I have one. It's phenomenal. I sit there, and it's like they'll ask for something, and I look, and I'm like, yeah, of course.
Totally got that.
And then I stand there, and I just slowly pull out my phone, and they're like, are you really looking it up right now? I said, do you want it right? Or I'm being honest with you.
Yeah,
right,
I'm trying
now.
To be, you want it right, or you want me to guess?
It's like, I can wing it, and it won't be bad.
But it might not be the drink you're asking
yeah,
for.
No, yeah, absolutely not. I was like, give me 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You're not the only bartender in town who does that. I know a lot of bartenders who do that. I'm not going to throw any of them under the bus, but I know a lot of bartenders who keep their phone
sometimes you
by the bar.
You just, it blinks on you. Like, yeah. Like a Vegas bomb the other day. I was like, I stood there. I was like, yeah, of course. I've made 50 of them. I sat there and I was like, hey, Siri. And they're like, no way.
I mean, it happened. Look. I get it. Like, I worked at Starbucks for, like, many years. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's just a million drinks. Like, it's a million drinks. And sometimes you're just not going to remember it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to have the chart there. Like, oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. So, like, okay. In both of those settings. All right. So, first of all, besides the, like, the smaller part of it and, like, the dressing and that stuff and the drinks that you're making, what else? What do you feel like is the difference in clientele between those events and, like, the public? Like, public bartending.
Public bartending is awesome. Ooh.
Yeah, versus the private setting.
The private setting is... It's really interesting. It's because it's an open bar, it's a lot more loose-lipped, I would say. Like, you would... The private is honestly a little bit... It can be a lot more chaotic.
Because everyone in there knows each other.
They all know each other, and they are all a... They're like, oh, I'm not paying for it, so I need to drink as much as I possibly can.
I love that. Okay.
And so sometimes it's like a little bit higher of a like urgency to do things than the public is.
Because mm-hmm.
the public's just like, they're like, oh, hey, I'm here. It's whatever.
Just chilling. Yeah.
I'm just chilling. And so it's so interesting. I don't know. It's weird.
So which wouldn't, if you had to pick one that you liked more.
Oh, all day my public bartending.
Okay.
All day.
I figured.
Like, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not, yeah. I don't mind the busyness at all. I actually thrive in that kind of setting when it's that kind of job. If it was like flipping burgers, no, I would want to kill myself.
Absolutely not. Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, it's why I came here and wanted to get onto that specific street. I was like, every day. It's going to be a show.
Yeah.
There's something that's going to happen.
Yeah. Even from Monday through Saturday, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, there's something is going to happen.
Oh, that's the beauty of it. I say all the time, it's like, I'm at a point where it's like, my Tuesday is actually like a Friday for me.
Yeah.
And like, that's not just, not because it's like, oh, it's my weekend. It's just, the way that this city functions. It's like, I'm not missing out on anything
right.
by working on the Friday.
Right. Exactly. Especially with all the, like all the people that we, you know, acquire as friends from working in the service industry. Like, yeah, we're all on that same schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Sunday, Monday.
But everything's still open.
Yeah. Right. There's still some people working it, so it's like, yeah, I'm still going to go to this spot. Like, there's very few bars that are open. It's only the ones that don't serve food, so mm-hmm. it's like, cool, we can still go to the other 1,800 bars that are around here.
I don't think I'll ever... I might try one day. if I were to ever leave Savannah, I want to say that I almost at least walked into every single bar here. If you had to guess, how long do you think it would take?
I think just River Street alone would take, like, you could do Congress in like a day or two.
You could.
Easily. Okay. Like, if you just wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
You could do City Market pretty quickly.
But then you have Midtown.
You have Midtown, like Starland District.
Mm-hmm. I haven't made it there yet.
There's some cool bars there. Mm-hmm. There's some bars that you should definitely stay away from mm-hmm. that are like not, just don't go in at all.
Noted.
We can talk about those later when we're off the air, but like there's some ones that you shouldn't go into at all that are just not worth it. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, you've seen one crappy dive bar, you've seen them all, you know what I mean? It's like, you're not missing really much. And like, a lot of the best people have moved on from those types of bars anyway. They're all at the bars that we like going to. Mm-hmm. They're all working at the bars that we like going to. So there's Savannah proper, if you're stopping at like Midtown, which is like what you and I would consider Midtown, which is like what people still think is downtown, which doesn't make any sense. It's not. I feel like you could do that in a... It would take a few months. And I'm not talking just like, oh, I went into this bar.
No, you have to go in. You have to
go in, hang out, drinks. Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. I think it would take a few months to do it. And then if we're talking about like all of Savannah, that stuff, like South Side and all that other stuff, you don't need to go out that way.
What the perimeters of Savannah actually are.
Yeah, there's like, I barely know it. It's like, there's downtown, there's Midtown, there's East Side, West Side, and then there's South Side.
Okay.
And then once after South Side is like Poole and other places where it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they don't matter, but as far as Savannah is concerned, the box of Savannah, they're not Savannah. Okay. I think to do all of those little dinky places, like there's like hotel bars and like.
I didn't even think about all the hotel bars. Yeah.
A lot of places like that.
I'd say a total of, because technically it's like I only signed a year lease. I'm going to say it's going to take me 2 years, so it's like, oh, no, I can't leave.
I would say 2 years would probably, if your goal is to go into every place, mm-hmm. 2 years would probably do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus there's all the places like near, I don't want to say the name of that. The bar that's named after a president, have you been in that place?
I don't think so.
It's on Lincoln Street? Mm-mm. Okay, well, there's a bar that you should go to.
Okay.
That's around there. There's a lot of bars in that area, too.
Okay.
There's a lot of hotel bars, a lot of, like, some, like, fancy pants bars up there, too. And then River Street has a ton of bars, also.
They're just, like, stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, and they, like, change in and out a lot, so. All right. So, bad experiences. What bad experiences have you had doing this with customers?
Ooh. Honestly, I think I can't even say that it's really just a bad experience. Like, no one's been absolutely awful yet. I think my biggest grievance is just people using proper cocktail names for like a vodka cranberry, because then I just stand there and I look stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that happens. I mean, like, look, and I should not say this. I'm going to say it anyway. It doesn't matter. There's nights where, like, customers will ask for a song.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know the name, and they give me the wrong name. So I intentionally, even though I know what song it is that they're asking me for, type the wrong name into the computer and tell them that we don't have it.
That's dirty.
I mean, listen, Listen, that happens when I'm met with a certain type of energy.
That is true. Exactly.
That's like, fair. If you're going to be a D-bag, like, okay, all right, fine, cool. No, I don't. What's Earl Had to Die? I have no idea what song that is. Yeah, what is that?
Yeah,
I don't
know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What is that song?
Try again later. Maybe it'll magically reappear.
Yeah, maybe you'll figure it out. I mean, you have a computer. I always tell people, that's the next thing. Like, you have a computer in your pocket. Like, you mm-hmm. can figure it out. I have no idea. Can I get to the next customer, please?
Yes. Why are you standing here trying to figure it out?
Yeah, you can. There's other places in the bar.
Done that over there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I feel your pain. You know what I mean?
It's really, I think it's just that, or it's just whenever they're sitting there and they demand my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay.
The snapping. I love that one.
I can't. For me, it's the card in the air.
Oh.
I don't know why. I'm just like, obviously I see you. I'm like, waving it around's not going to change anything. I'm busy. I'll get there.
The thing I've seen the tapping of the card on the bar. Ooh. That would make me mad.
I will ignore you for as long as I possibly can. I'm like, oh, I didn't see you there. But no, it's like when they behave like that, and then you're like, okay, what do you want? Mm. What can I do for you? And they go, oh, well, what do you recommend?
Don't. Customers, don't do that. It's like if you're a server at a restaurant, and they're like, what's your favorite thing here to eat? And I'm like, well, what should I eat? What should I eat? I have no idea. What do you like?
I will give you the worst thing in the world if you tell me to surprise you.
Oh, yeah. I've done that to people. Yo, I know every song. You just put whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. Oh, will you? Okay.
There's a whole menu of, like, the beer list. And they're like, what kind of beer do you have? I'm like, oh, it's right there. And then they look at it for a few seconds and then ask for a beer that's not on the menu. And I'm like, try again. Try again.
Please try again. Like, I know you know how to read. Like, please. I know you know how to do this. Like, I believe in you. I know you can read. Yeah, there's those little quirks. I mean, you clearly don't get that kind of stuff, really, in the private setting, right?
No.
Right. Everyone kind of knows what they want.
Well, it's also, it's like, they do very specific, like, liquor packages.
Okay.
And so it's, they see what I have, and they can just try to create something based off of what I have.
Okay.
And so it's, at that point of time, it's also, it's like, it's very, very, very obvious that it's like, I don't have, like, Tito's behind the bar. You can see what I have.
Right.
And you're going to ask for Tito's every single time. And I'm not going to correct you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go, okay.
And just pour whatever.
Pour whatever the vodka is that I have.
Yeah.
But they're not paying for it, so like they stop complaining.
Right. And once they're hammered, it doesn't matter.
Or they'll be like, well, can I pay for that one? I'm like, no, you can't. It's not here. It doesn't. Yeah. In this world right now, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, there's no back room where we have it. Yeah. It's just not here.
It's not going to happen for you.
You guys ordered specific things, mm-hmm. so therefore we don't have the other things.
Yeah, take it up with the bride. I don't know what else to tell you.
Oh man. So okay, so we've talked about the difference. So like, was there any like up or downsides? I mean, obviously the downside to working in the corporate setting when you were back home was like people looking over your shoulder and, you know, probably deadlines and things like that. So obviously this is a looser environment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like you're gonna end up back in a corporate setting, or do you think you're going to try and find a corporate setting that's loose?
I don't think that I could go back to the fluorescent office light for the rest of my life. What I do have a big passion for what my job actually was, and so I imagine going back into it, whether it's going to be in a remote setting or a hybrid, because it's like there's a specific lifestyle in hospitality that just fulfills. And so I don't want to ever have to be forced to let that go to fit in a 9-to-5.
Right.
You know, but it's like I do think that eventually it's like I will find something that like meets me both ways.
Right. Right.
And so I don't know. Right now it's all about life experience.
Right.
And I think that's like one of the main things that I was missing out in just by being forced into that. Like,
how old are you?
25.
Oh yeah, plenty of time.
25.
And yeah, plenty of time.
I was like, okay. I'm calling it reverse retirement. You know, it's like, while I have the time, freedom, and energy, I'm going to go and try to experience as much as I can.
Right. I think retirement's stupid because it's like, I'm old and I'm going to go and try and do the things I want to do. Yeah, no, no.
I'll go sit at the desk whenever I'm tired and I'm ready to be sitting every day.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly. That's kind of like, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm 44. It's like, man, I did all these crazy things up until this point. And now I'm just kind of like, okay.
I'll be the fun old office lady that
I'm like, just going to chill. Yeah.
Like, I might have all the best stories.
Right. It's all, look. You don't get life experience if you don't go out and experience life.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get people who are like, yeah, I'm going to save all this money and do all this stuff. And,
retirement.
Right, but it's just like, for what? So you could do what?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, die with a bunch of money in your bank? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
You're going
to
be 60. You're going to go on a cruise? Congratulations.
Or you could have done that cruise when you were, like, 24, 25, 26. And a lot more fun doing it. Right, yeah. You end up on a beach doing whatever you want. Now you're old and decrepit and like, what's the point of having all that money to do what? To pay hospital bills? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
You know, so I'll worry about that part later.
Yeah, I feel like you're onto something. I feel like people should reverse retire.
Reverse retire.
So you're an intelligent person. Like, do you... Is there some, like... problem that you are afraid might happen at a job, or is there something like you have heard other people talk about that you're like, ooh, like I don't want that to happen, or like do you is it all just like roses, or is there like something looming in the back of your head about like, ooh, this or that could go wrong with this like scenario world? Or I mean both in the corporate world or in the bar setting?
I'd say in the bar setting, it's more of sometimes you just got to be careful about what you allow yourself to listen to.
And it's, also, what you take, what you allow yourself to listen to, and what you whatever you say out of your mouth. Like mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to watch yourself.
It's one and the same, and so it's like that's really one of the only things where it's just like, ooh, I'm gonna walk away real quick just for. It's like I feel like just word of mouth within the service industry is one of the most. It's one of the best and worst things. It goes a long way, but it can also just be super detrimental.
Yeah, it can be real damaging. You do one thing that's like unsavory, mm-hmm. and that follows you for the rest of the time you're here.
Oh yeah, reputation is everything.
It doesn't go away because it's an incestuous business in the sense that like everyone has worked at every place, everyone has worked with everyone, mm-hmm. like at some point in time. Like, oh yeah, I worked with that person at this place, blah blah blah. It's like one of those things. So like, if something crazy follows you around, mm-hmm. like that's forever.
But it's like honestly, it's within both of my like career paths. There's nothing that's I've ever like panicked about because. Whether, if, like, God forbid, like, the bar that I work at shuts down. Okay, there's one next door.
You're right.
The world will always need a bartender.
Right. That's funny. Okay. Side tangent. Since you worked, like, in a technology setting. Me and a friend of mine were talking about jobs and AI. Jobs that are being taken by AI. And I said, I don't think that bartending will ever be a job.
They've tried. Have you ever seen the little robot bars?
I've heard about them.
There's one at one of the casinos back home. I've never seen anyone sitting there.
Really?
Yeah, well, because you're taking the soul out of it.
Yeah, right. But I was like, it could happen if you get AI to the point of like, oh, this is believable.
Oh, like that movie where it's like the little spaceship. And it's like a little AI bartender.
Yeah. Like if you can get like... If you can get, like, your ChatGPT, and you're talking to that thing, and you're like, oh, this, you start believing, like, oh, this is, like, a person. Like, if they can get that into a bar setting, like, I think you could do... I just don't see anything like that happening anytime soon.
It would never happen.
Yeah, I feel like hospitality... Well, bartending. I feel like... what is it? Entertainment, to a degree. I think these are things that are safe...
Oh, absolutely.
For the time being. Like, for the very, like, foreseeable future. Like, by the time you die, I still don't think it'll be a mm-mm. thing.
No, I can't imagine it.
No. Okay, that was interesting. It was, like, an interesting thought. Like, I feel like bartending is one of those, like, fail-safe jobs. People are, no matter how well or how terrible the economy is doing, like, people will still drink.
Look, it's a trade of the arts.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone drinks. Everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a businessman or if you're, you know, a guy who works in a sewer. Like, everyone drinks.
Even if you're not drinking alcohol, you're drinking water.
You're still drinking.
You're people, drinking something.
People are always gonna, you know, congregate in a spot like that with like a watering hole. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty interesting. So have you? All right. So you're new to this. So what? All right. So why do you? I think we kind of touched on it, but I'm gonna ask the question anyway.
Okay.
Other than monetarily. Because we know you're not doing it just for monetary reasons, the job. What else keeps you in it? Like, we spoke about the people and, like, the social aspect of it, but, like, is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you feel like this is the other reason why I'm doing this job?
I mean, honestly, I feel like we kind of hit the points. It's a community within itself.
Right.
And so, especially from not being here, it's almost like a little found family. And so, it's like, it gives me that connection, but it's also just... fun.
Right.
And it's just like that's like one of the biggest things about it is just meeting new people and hearing new stories and like having stories of my own to carry on later on. It's just it's its own little world of experience.
I think also uniquely where we work specifically, like you have the one bar that's like further down, which has like the burgers and the patio and whatever. And I feel like that's like the service industry's bar. Like, you know, everyone who like, I just got off of work. Let me go to blah. Like everyone goes to that one place. And then you have the place that's between that and us, which is also kind of like that.
To me, that one is the service industry bar.
I feel like that one is the service industry bar for the kind of bars that we work in.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
Those are like dive bar people.
It is. It's your late night people.
Right, right. And then I feel like the other place is like those people who got out of like, man, my shift ended up at 10:30. Like, ooh, yeah. We just closed the bar at 11. Like, ooh. Yeah, those are people who are getting out right when your shift is getting crazy. Yeah. Like, they're getting out of work.
No, we started coining, I'm not taking credit for it because it wasn't mine. But my friends, it's two beer Sundays. And so... every single Sunday, it's like basically anyone in the industry is invited. It's just word of mouth thing, and it's you show up and you have two beers or two shots and you go.
That's it.
It does. I mean, that's not it.
It's usually more.
That's the rule. And so sometimes it's one table of people. Sometimes we're six tables deep, and it's just one of the most fun, like end of the week. Everyone's sharing their horror stories. Gathering of. Like bartenders on the street.
Yeah.
And it's a great time.
It's wild. I got to start coming and like coming out on Sundays. I usually don't. But I got to start coming out because I got to start collecting some more of these people for some of these interviews. But like I was saying, that we also get a ton of tourists at the bar that we work at. So like we're not only meeting people that we didn't know who lived in the town, we're meeting people from like all over the planet. Sometimes
the amount of accents that I heard yesterday was blowing. I was like, where? I was like, why? Like, what is happening? I was getting just every person I was talking to. There, it was like a complete, like full blown, like from another country accent.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, hi, welcome.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know what's crazy? It's like when we have all three bars open. It's like different at every bar. Like last night for me, it was like all people from like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the yard, it was all like.
I'm telling you, the yard was overseas.
It was like all foreign people.
It was big groups of like just everyone from Europe and stuff. And I was just like, well, hello.
Yeah, and then the downstairs regular bar was just like locals and regulars.
Yeah, your college kids, your regulars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's and they never like mix unless they have to use the bathroom.
Pretty much, yeah. It's such a weird little dynamic to walk around through.
All right, so now, what advice do you have for people who are trying to make the same jump?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. It's honestly, it was one of the, because I mean, I had no savings. I probably had more debt than I had savings. But it's all eggs in one basket, do or die mentality.
Yeah.
Just do it. Worst case scenario, you have to go back home.
You fail. Big deal.
Try again.
Right. Yeah. Throw spaghetti at the wall until it sticks. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll figure it out. Not bad. I mean, do you have any, like, obviously, we let the cat out of the bag earlier with the fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. Look, it's the God honest truth.
Embellishments.
I'm newer in saying it, but ask any bartender, how did they get behind their first bar?
No, they lied about it.
They lied about being behind another one.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Most of the time. And most of the people you can't tell. And you're like, damn, they're really good. And then other people are like, no, there's no way.
I'm just the baby bartender saying it. But ask the veteran.
I remember the person we hired. I think they hired you and someone else at the same time. And I guess the other person had also done the same thing, like lied-ish.
I think like right before me.
Yeah, right before you. Yeah. And you could tell. You're like, damn, now there's no way you worked behind a bar like at all ever.
I heard about it, but I never had the privilege of experiencing
it. One day, I was there the day that she trained. And I was like, there's no way this, nah. I was like, I would say that she's like kind of ditzy, but nah, this is like, she doesn't know anything, like nothing. You're telling her, you're talking to her and she's like, shell-shocked, like confused, doesn't know, like you could tell, like, okay, you have no idea what we're talking about right now. Yeah.
I'd been around the service industry for so long that the basic knowledge I had, I just didn't have the full-blown like knowledge to muscle memory.
Right.
And so once the muscle, I could talk to the people, I knew that I had the education in it, and like I knew my liquors, I just hadn't. My hands had it connected.
Yeah.
And so.
But I mean, it's all going to be a different situation, too, because even if you have that muscle memory behind a different bar, every bar's set up different.
Every bar's set up different.
So that's like that right there is the time you have to figure out if you can actually do it, because most bar managers and stuff will take that into consideration. Be like, okay, they got a week to figure out like where the hell everything is. And if they're still, you know, messing up after that, then they're done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's simple. It's like a Cosmo example. It's one of the easiest little martinis to make.
Yeah.
I could tell you exactly how much to put in for a Cosmo. But until I had done it, like the first time I did it, it's like a baby learning how to walk. It took a second. And it's like after the first time you do it, I was like, oh, okay.
Right, everything is reps. You know, you do it more, you get better at it.
It's all, and like your counts are always going to be the same. It's just the memories.
Yeah, but it's got to be like in music, right? You can memorize a piece, or you can sight read a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And like sight reading is good for when you're playing in an orchestra and stuff like that, but it's not good for when you're performing. So if you don't memorize the piece, who cares if you can read it off a piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone can read it off a piece of paper, but that takes forever. So, like, don't do that. Okay, and then finally, I guess. God, I'm so stuffy right now. I hate this. almost cursed again. Almost cursed again. Almost did it again. I hate this right now. For customers, what advice do you have for customers who come into places like this? Or just bars in general, or dealing with people who are us.
Oh, wow. Just say hi.
You know, be nice.
Be nice. Understand the dynamic. Oh, actually, I had somebody. Actually, I really appreciated it because I am a relatively new bartender.
Yeah.
They wanted a shotgun. And I was like, hey, legally, I can't hand you an unopened beer. And she immediately said, I will not make you do a single thing that you're not comfortable with. And I was like, hey, I appreciate you.
Awesome. Yeah,
like, you know, it's like, you. Just, it's like, I'm not a magician. I can make pretty things, but having understanding customers will always just be the best thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just patient. Chill.
Patience. Yeah. That seems to be the biggest piece of advice that most people give other people. It's like, chill. We're here. We're going to get to you.
You're here to have fun.
So have fun.
To serve you.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Trust me. You might have to wait a little bit longer than you want to, but you know, talk to the person you're sitting next to, whatever. Like this is a social thing.
Just have fun.
Be social. Yeah. Awesome. 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 All right, Allie. That was awesome. I like getting the perspective of someone who's like really new, like super fresh.
New.
Yeah. Like just popped out into the world.
Don't tell my boss that.
The bosses don't listen to this show anyway, so it's fine. I know they don't, because I was talking to one the other day, like, oh, you're still doing that? Like, yeah. What's it about? Nah, it doesn't matter, man.
You don't need to know.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm going to have all your bartenders on this microphone. You don't need to be listening.
You know? Is that a podcast? Yeah, sure. Go look it up. awesome. So it was good. It was good talk.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming through.
Of course. Thank you.
And then I think maybe like before I finish, when you have a lot more time on your hands, we'll see what the story is then.
Oh yeah, tell me about. Look, trust me. Give me like another month. Like I said, I feel like I've lived four different lives since being in Savannah.
I mean, it's just crazy, especially the time of the year, early time of the year. Like you, like I said, St. Patrick's crazy, mm-hmm. crazy time for you to come in. But even still, like you're now gonna get through. You're gonna experience.
I earned my badge of honor by surviving St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Yeah. That's a good. It's a good way to. It's a good place to start. I think also too, you're gonna experience the three dead seasons, the hurricane season.
Yeah.
You're gonna experience the slow, like whatever winter season. But September gets crazy again.
Okay, good.
October is wild.
Is it really? Oh, I love October.
Halloween's pretty fun at the bar. It's pretty fun, and then it's New Year's is okay, and that's like kind of the last thing we do until. Then everyone just kind of resets
mm-hmm.
until, oh my God, Valentine's Day. And then it just starts ramping up from that point on. And then it's just the same thing over and over and over again. But it's fun. It's fun. Like I've as many times as I've dealt with like really terrible customers, it doesn't really bother me. Nope. Like it doesn't bother me at all.
It's just if you have that little moment, you're like, oh, that really hurt my brain.
Yeah. Not my feelings, my brain.
That hurt my brain.
I'm
trying to comprehend what just happened.
Yeah, I'm having a malfunction. Like, uh-huh. I'm just not, it's not computing at all. Like, I'm just stuck there. Like, what just happened? What?
But then you turn over to the next person and they're great. Yeah. You forget all about it. You're like, oh, this is why I do my job.
Yeah, or you're just like, all right, I'm going to go use the bathroom. Just like walk away for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, let me breathe real quick. And then, okay, by the time you come back, And people are like, man, that was crazy. You're like, oh, yeah, whatever.
I love including my customers where sometimes like I'll just look over. I'm like, did you just see what happened? Yeah. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure that I'm not crazy over here.
Yeah, that's like sometimes, some nights. Oh, my God. Some nights, that's like a good like 30% of my tips is people being like, here's some money. That was wild. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how you do this job without punching people, but... Here's some money.
Like, hey, thank you for being a witness.
Yeah. Like, you're the best. You have, like, you have the patience of an angel. And I'm like, I just dissociate, like, pretty hard. Yeah. So, like, I just turn it off, like, compartmentalize. Like, it happens and then it's gone. Like well, I couldn't do your job. Here's some money. Thank you. But, all right. So, we'll get back to you soon. We'll keep an eye and see what's going on. So, anyway, this was The Customer Isn't Always Right. 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. And if you want to listen to old episodes, go on WRUU.creek.fm and you can catch all the old episodes. It's easier to do on a laptop because for whatever reason, the phone app is poop. So we'll catch you guys later. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.